Happy Sabbath, dear ones. Welcome to our Friday evening church service on this fifth day of October 2018. I pray that this week has been good for you. I know to some it's been very busy, but praise God for bringing us all safely and with what health we have to another blessed Sabbath gathering. Greetings also to those joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording, and glad to have you with us. Our opening song is Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but how toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but He's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, and are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust.
Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And God even gives us the grace and the strength to obey. All we have to do is trust, and take that first step in obeying His will, and God does all the rest. Can't go wrong in trusting and obeying our God. Well, let us please bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care and guidance. Thank you that you're in control of all things, and no matter what the devil may attempt to do, no matter what roadblocks or barriers he may erect, you're more powerful than all of these, can break through them all to reach an honest heart that is desiring and searching for the truth. Thank you for being unwilling that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus. And thank you for knowing us better than we know ourselves, and for arranging circumstances to occur in just such a way to reach our hearts and to bring us to Thee for comfort, courage, strength, truth, wisdom, and salvation. We pray that you'll be with all of those requesting prayers. Please be with Brother Randall and help him in his health situation. Let him look to Thee, dear Savior, as his great physician, trusting in Thy perfect will being accomplished in his life, and submissive to whatever your will is. But we pray for his healing, but especially for a deeper walk with Thee through this trial. Please continue to heal my beloved's arm, and thank you so much that it's better than it was, and each day sees differences, and we pray that the healing will continue until she has full use of her arm once again. Thank you for the patience to endure through whatever trial you allow to come our way. And thank you especially that Jesus is coming soon. Help us to get ourselves ready and prepared to meet him in the clouds of the air, that we will not run away and call for the rocks of the mountains to cover us and hide us from his glory. Thank you so very much for bringing us all safely to another Sabbath. And please prepare our hearts to receive the rich and abundant outpouring of thy Spirit and blessings that you have in store for us as we dig into your word of inspiration tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, welcome one and all. We're in chapter 50 of our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets. And you can find our study book on our website at lightministries.com/ID818.htm. And this chapter is titled Tithes and Offerings, and we left off about halfway down on page 528 to the paragraph that begins, God intended. And the last thing that we were discussing was the principle that you cannot outgive God. Whatever we have, God has allowed us to have out of his possession, since he owns the entire world. So whatever we have is a gift of God. And so when we give tithes and offerings back to God, we're but giving him part of what he's given us, part of his own possessions. But that's what God asks of us. And there's those that become stingy in what they give to God. But then we were reading another Bible principle that there is those that go forth and scatter. And even though they've scattered part of their possessions, yet through the blessings of God, they obtain more possessions than what they originally scattered. And then there is those who hold back more than what is proper, but because God can't bless their stinginess or their selfishness, they end up having less than more. And so that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. God intended that his people Israel should be light bearers to all the inhabitants of the earth. So not just to the nations surrounding the Middle East, but all over the world. Continuing. In maintaining his public worship, they were bearing a testimony to the existence and sovereignty of the living God. And this worship, it was their privilege to sustain as an expression of their loyalty and their love to him. So God chose them as his people to be light bearers to all the world. And part of that bearing light to all the world was to maintain the public worship that they were involved in. And to do so, they would be bearing a testimony to the existence and sovereignty of the living God. So it was actually a privilege to donate to maintain the public worship of the God that they loved, the God who they were obedient and loyal to, a God who had given them everything. And it's the same today, dear ones. Our love for God is being tested by how much we're willing to give back to him. Continuing. The Lord has ordained that the diffusion of light and truth in the earth shall be dependent upon the efforts and offerings of those who are partakers of the heavenly gift. He might have made angels the ambassadors of his truth. He might have made known his will as he proclaimed the law from Sinai with his own voice. But in his infinite love and wisdom, he called men, you and me, to become co-laborers with himself by choosing them to do this work. What a privilege that is when you understand that God could have set us aside and done the work all by himself. Or he could have called his angels to do the work. But then, if others have done the work, and we weren't able to do any of it, would our heart be connected with the work? Would we become involved in the message of salvation if we did not have a part in its proclamation? Amen. The answer is no. It would not have been important to us. Maybe obtaining salvation would have been important, but it wouldn't have been for the right reasons. Only to avoid destruction. Instead of out of love and devotion to the God of salvation. So God has chosen each one of us in Jesus Christ to be connected and partakers in this work of seeking to save the lost. And that work involves sacrifice, not just of our time, but also of our finances. And again, we can't outgive God. So whatever we give to support the cause of God and the earth, God is going to recognize that free will gift from love to Him and love to souls that are perishing. And He will bless us more than if we had kept that money to ourselves. So praise God for allowing us to be co-laborers with Him in seeking to save the lost. And what a privilege it's going to be if we're faithful to the end and we make it to heaven to see some of the souls that are only there because of our efforts to reach them or efforts in supporting others who reach them. And even those we may not understand are there because of these efforts. They will know. And can you imagine standing on the sea of glass and have a perfect stranger come up to you saying, you know, I'm only here because of your efforts in supporting this laborer who reached me with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm only here because of you. How's that going to make you feel? Joy unspeakable. It's going to be wonderful, dear ones. But each one of us has to have at least one star in our crown, one soul saved for Jesus Christ because of our efforts. Or we'll never make it to heaven. There's not going to be any individual with a starless crown. So we have to personally do effort, sacrifice for God and His cause, and win souls to Him, at least one, in order to be in the kingdom of God and gain eternal life. And God gives us the grace and strength, and He multiplies our efforts in order that souls may be saved through our sacrifice. What a merciful and compassionate God, dear ones. And truly, heaven is cheap enough.
And dear bro, what a thought you just brought out, like the one star, the crown has to at least have one star because the crown has stars in it. That's a marvelous thought. I'm trying to think where that came from, where that is mentioned in the Spirit of Prophecy. Sorry about that, it's the Pacific Ocean, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, which, by the way, is going to be removed soon too. I was just saying that it's marvelous to think that with this gracious call of God's and the responsibility we have, that He's got a responsibility to live up to give us the grace if we'll just receive it. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, God is doing everything that He possibly can to ensure the salvation of souls, of you and me, and everyone else in the world. The test to Adam and Eve was as slight as it could possibly be in order to ensure their obedience. It wasn't a great test, just avoid eating from one tree. That's all they had to do. And God had given them a multiplicity of other fruit-bearing trees. They didn't need the tree of knowledge of good and evil in order to survive in the garden. They could have done without it perfectly, without the slightest bit of harm. And God is making our obtaining the kingdom of heaven as possible as he can, doing everything that he can. All we have to do is trust and obey. God calls us to perfection. Keep the law perfectly. Do not commit sin. Christ showed us how, and Christ makes up the lack in our obedience, to where through him we become perfect before God. So if we do our best and only achieve 10% of 100% perfection, we only reach a tenth of it. Christ makes up the other 9/10 and presents us before the Father perfect, 100%. Everything has been made as easy as possible to save us. All God requires of us is our whole heart. To trust in him and to obey. He gives us the grace and strength to obey. Christ makes up the deficiencies in our character and presents us perfect. What more can God do in order to save us? But he's not going to take determined, willful sinners to heaven. Only those who have confessed and forsaken their sins and have accepted Christ as their Savior. But everything else is taken care of. We just have to remain trustful and obedient. There's no other way to eternal life but to trust and obey Jesus Christ. And when we do so, even if we're near death, just like the thief on the cross, if we do so, Christ will ensure our salvation as long as we maintain our union with him. Amen. A comment in the room, it says, stick it out. Makes it sound hard or unpleasant, but if we endure unto the end, we shall be saved. Hold fast. Don't look back. Keep your hand on the plow. Keep moving forward and onward. Yoked together with our Savior. Is the only way.
All right. In the days of Israel, the tithe and free will offerings were needed to maintain the ordinances of divine service. Should the people of God give less in this age? The principle laid down by Christ is that our offerings to God should be in proportion to the light and privileges enjoyed. Unto whomsoever much is given, to him of him shall be much required. Luke 12:48. Said the Savior to his disciples as he sent them forth, freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8. As our blessings and privileges are increased, above all, as we have before us the unparalleled sacrifice of the glorious Son of God, should not our gratitude find expression in more abundant gifts to extend to others the message of salvation? The work of the gospel, as it widens, requires greater provision to sustain it than was called for anciently. And this makes the law of tithes and offerings even more urgent of even more urgent necessity now than under the Hebrew economy. If his people were liberally to sustain his cause by their voluntary gifts instead of resorting to unchristian and unhallowed methods to fill the treasury, God would be honored and many more souls would be won to Christ.
Amen. So God's cause anciently was supported by free will gifts. And tithe was set at 10%, but that was also free will. It was to be voluntary. So today, God's cause is to be sustained by voluntary offerings, including the tithe. And those who would try to come up with some scheme or bazaar or bingo baking bread and cookies and auctioning them off and then putting that money into the treasury, etc. God would be more honored if none of those other money-raising schemes entered into his cause. And if you think about it, God has given you everything you have. Doesn't that make you happy? Doesn't it make you appreciative of what God has done? So why should there be forced methods of giving back to God something that you really appreciate of him for? And if God is honored, more souls are going to be won to Christ. If God is dishonored, less souls are going to be won to Christ. So the more glory, the more honor you give to God, the more souls are going to be saved. So just how much do you love God? How much do you want to honor him? How much do you want to glorify him in these last days of darkness? How much of your heart is connected with the cause of salvation? These are all questions we need to ask ourselves and pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes so we can see ourselves as we are.
And amen, brother. And when you parallel, you know, the Jews and all before the Christ came, they, you know, in comparison to us, I mean, since that time when Christ came and what he's done and what he's doing now, wow, it's like, how many more gifts of and blessings have we got than they ever had? And when you read that, I think it's the middle of the paragraph, it's just, can you sense it in your heart? Like, wow, all of you is required, James. All of you is required, brother and sister. Like, God's calling, he's given us so much promises backed up by fulfillments of his will for this world, for individuals that make up this world that are, oh, as you said, Brother Bob, to see how far we're in the faith, if we're in the faith, and to ask ourselves how much are we linked up with God's work in these last days.
Amen, brother. And each and every one of us need to examine ourselves where we stand in the faith. If our whole heart is in the cause of God, it's going to be revealed in our fruits, in our gifts, in how much sacrifices we're willing to make. If half our heart is there, it will be revealed in our fruits. If none of our heart is there, if we're just professing in name only, that will also be revealed in our fruits. So each one of us needs to honestly examine ourselves where we stand in the faith. And pray for the Holy Spirit to give us a distinct view of our hearts so that we know where we stand and thus can make choices to change. If we've lost our first love, to gain it back, going directly to Christ. There's always room for improvement. We'll never be able to say we've made it until we walk through the pearly gates and our feet stand on the sea of glass or on the golden streets. Then we can say we've made it. Up until then, there's always room for improvement. There's always room to grow more into Christ Jesus. There's always more to discover of the love of God for you.
The plan of Moses to raise means for the building of the tabernacle was highly successful. No urging was necessary, nor did he employ any of the devices to which churches in our day so often resort. He made no grand feast. He did not invite the people to scenes of gaiety, dancing, and general amusement. Neither did he institute lotteries, nor anything of this profane order, to obtain means to erect the tabernacle for God. Amen. The Lord directed Moses to invite the children of Israel to bring their offerings. He was to accept gifts from everyone that gave willingly from his heart. And the offerings came in so great abundance that Moses bade the people cease bringing, for they had supplied more than could be used. Amen.
Amen. So Moses presented the need before the people, but there was no efforts made to force the people to give, nor to make them feel guilty if they didn't give more. He presented the need. So then what caused the people to bring in so much that Moses had to say, we have enough, don't bring any more? What? Amen. Love. Love for the honor of God, because there was no sanctuary yet. Amen. But there was something more. What was urging them? Moses wasn't urging them. What was the power that enabled them to give? Amen. The Holy Spirit. Divine love does not originate in a fallen human nature. The love we have outside of the impression of God is selfish. The only way for us to have love for God is for the Holy Spirit to put it in our hearts. Without the Holy Spirit urging the people, placing love for God in their hearts, they would have never given. Selfishness, self-love would have taken over and they would have hoarded their money. They would have given nothing. Or they may have gave something just for show. But it wouldn't have been anything near what they needed to build the sanctuary. But when they opened their hearts for the Spirit to enter, the Spirit placed love for God in their hearts, a desire to honor God, to manifest their gratefulness for all He had done for them. I mean, He just delivered them from Egyptian bondage and destroyed the enemies. He provided food and water in the wilderness. He gave them shelter during the day so the sun wouldn't burn them. He put a barrier around their encampment so no serpents, no scorpions, no poisonous lizards entered in and bit them. He gave them a pillar of fire during the night to keep the chill of the night air off of their encampment. All of these things the Spirit brought to their memory, and their hearts were filled with gratitude. And any sacrifice to show their gratitude to God was not considered a drudgery. It was considered an honor. That's why so much was given, and there was an abundance, because the Spirit moved upon the people. Moses didn't have to do anything more than present the need. It's the same today. We don't have to resort to enticements to try and move upon the emotions of the people to give. All we have to do is present the need and then allow the Holy Spirit to work on the hearts. Just like what took place anciently. And what a joy it would be to have so much given that it was an overabundance. The entire cause could be supported. God is just waiting for hearts that are filled with His love and gratefulness for all that He has done for them. And what a privilege it is to give back to God some of His own.
Well, okay. God had made men His stewards. The property which He had has placed in their hands is the means that He has provided for the spread of the gospel to those who prove themselves faithful stewards. He will commit greater trusts, saith the Lord. Them that honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. Folks, that's a good memory. Remember, Jim. Them that honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. God loveth a cheerful giver, and when His people with grateful hearts bring their gifts and offerings to Him, not grudgingly or of necessity, His blessing will attend them as He has promised. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Wow. Wow. I want to live off that blessing. Wow. Not room enough to receive it.
And it's so true. I mean, literally, when God says prove him, that's what he means. And I remember again, so many years ago, back when my sister was still living and we were living in Maryland at the time, and we were going through different trials or what have you. And then it dawned on me one day when we had a roof over our head, we had anonymous, loving angels that brought food for us and things like that. And I said, wow, truly God's word is real. When we return God's gift that is his, that he allows us to have, because we can't pay God, it's his anyway, and he allows us to have financial blessings or what have you. So we return to him what is already his. He does make it so that the blessings are in abundance. And I'm
amen, sis. I'd just like to add to that in my own personal experience, and thank you for sharing yours. I've always found there's never any lack when you do it, and willingly, like, because there's no burden when you do something cheerfully. You want to do it. It's really for you. It's for your own advancement. And then God pours you out. I think there was a comment earlier that it's not necessarily in money. Amen. It can be just in present truth, understanding of it more, knowing what God requires of you with the present truth that will help others, whether they're a scholar, they're a pastor, they're a minister, or they don't have any of those titles. Just simply because you return back what is already his. What a wonderful thought. You know, it's marvelous. We are like, we're on L plates. You know, we, or P plates, if you like, probationaries. And if we're faithful to the end in this race and we make it, we'll just continue on working and co-laboring with the Lord. Everyone will be saved, of course, but, you know, like the angels listed in, I think it's Psalm 130, around that area, that they love to do his commands and that, we'll just continue doing that if we're like that here. Oh, God has the power. Praise God, he wants to do this in us.
Amen. Amen. And God is interested in every aspect of our lives. He's so interested in our welfare that he knows exactly how many hairs we have on our head. Now, to know how many hairs someone has on their head, you have to really pay attention to that individual. They become a part of your knowledge and of your interest. That means that God has an interest and a personal knowledge of each one of us, because he gave his son out of love to save us. So if God has such a personal interest in us, and he gave his son to save us, then God is interested in our salvation, in our welfare, or he would not have given his son to save us. He would not take the time to know how many hairs we still have on our heads. Some more than others. But God has a personal interest in our lives, our welfare. So then he knows exactly what needs we have. He knows exactly what is best for us with the goal of heaven in mind. All he asks of us is to put him first, then he'll take care of the rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your own righteousness, his righteousness. And after you've done that, he'll take care of all the rest. The same with our finances. Put God first with tithe and offerings, and then God will take care of the rest. He'll bless the remaining amount you have so abundantly that you will have more than what you started with before you gave to God anything. Amen. He stretches it, but he blesses what you have. So if you have a car, he'll bless it. It will continue running, or if something does break down, it will not be the whole car that needs to be given up. And if it is, he'll open the door for you to get another car that's better. So, God is in control if we allow him to be. If we put him first, he'll take care of the rest. When Elijah entered into a particular town, I think it was Sarepta, he came across a widow woman and her son, and she was gathering sticks and going home, and she was going to cook her last meal. She had just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and that was it. She had nothing left. Beyond that, she had no way of getting more. There was a drought going on. Do you remember what Elijah asked her? She didn't come up to Elijah. Elijah came up to her. Amen. Make me a little cake first. Of the little bit of flour and the little bit of oil you have left. Make it for me first. And then God will bless you abundantly. She then was faced with putting the cause of God first over her own interests first. She had just a little left. And you can imagine the tug that was going on in her heart. Man, I just have enough for me and my son. And here this man of God is asking me to bake a cake for him first. Put God's cause first. And she finally decided to end the struggle in her heart by trusting in God. And she went ahead and baked a little cake, gave it to Elijah. And then she went and baked for herself and her son, putting them, or herself and her son, second, seeking first God and herself second. And when she did so, she found there was still flour in the bottom of the barrel, and still oil enough to bake a loaf. And she did that for the remaining years of the drought. God didn't give her an abundance. He gave her exactly what she needed at the time she needed it. God will do the same for us if we put him and his cause first and ourselves second. He'll take care of everything else. We may not have a lot, but God will make sure we have what we need when we need it. Amen. How encouraging these stories are of how God takes care of his people. You know, Elijah fled for his life. God sustained him, even sending an angel to give him the bread and the water he needed. And he made sure that bread and water sustained his life for 40 days and 40 nights. without eating or drinking anything else. Can you imagine that? So God knows exactly what we need when we need it, and He will sustain us on what He gives us, even if He has to bless it to the point of preserving our lives on what we ate 40 days earlier. He's the miracle-working God. Why are we so willing to sell Him short? To doubt Him?
Amen, bro. I just wanted to say, it's interesting, that Trust and Obey song. One of the things that stood out to me when we were singing it was to be happy in Jesus, you do those things. And it made me think, well, what's the opposite of that? To be happy in the world. You don't trust and obey. And it is called happiness, but it's only transitory. It's only, you know, for a season, and it's misery that follows, you know, the guilt of sin and its effect on the body and the life and the family, etc. There's nowhere to take it until you give it to someone who's not guilty like yourself. And that's the happiness of Jesus. I was just thinking about the story too that you were sharing about, and Sister Elaine brought it up. I mean, the effect that widow's mite had, and how many have given into the treasury since hearing that story. They weren't present to see what Christ said and the apostles witnessed, but the effect that it had on the treasury of God. No doubt, partially, you know, their faith of the early Christian church, it's really a challenge for us today, but it needn't be one that God fails at, because He's not going to fail if we say yes, yes, yes all along the way. Oh God, give us a greater experience than we...
Amen. And a little with God's blessing is greater than a lot without God's blessing.
Recently I saw something about the ultra rich of this world. They spend a lot of money, surround themselves with armed guards and security of all kinds. They're afraid to go out in public for fear they'll be kidnapped or somebody or taken for ransom. You know, I thought, poor rich people. They live in fear, and they're lonely. What a blessing that we don't have to worry about somebody's going to come in and hold us hostage for money we don't have, and we're not afraid to go out and associate with our friends.
I want to also share a comment in about how trusting and obeying. A few days ago, I read about I read in chapter 15 in Prophets and Kings. I read about the story of King Jehoshaphat. The Jehoshaphat story was pretty inspiring. When he was the king of Judah, he depended more on God and trusted in Him more than some of the kings of the past that governed Israel or even Judah back then. What inspired me most is when he and the people went in unto the cliff of Ziz. Sorry if you might hear whimpering. That's the dog. She's whimpering because my aunt is not home and she wants her to come back. Whimpering might be disturbing a bit, but at least I'll still keep telling my comment. The dog is a she, Elder Rob, not a he. Calm down, girl. As I was saying, I was inspired by her, or by what, when King Jehoshaphat and the people, when they gathered the cliff of Ziz, Israel drew well war with a few, were in another war. But at that time, those with the Moabites and the Ammonites, and even the extra army from Mount Seir. But they learned from Messenger Jehaziel that God had heard their prayers, and that he told them to meet the army at the cliff. And when that day it came, and when the army looked like it was ready to slaughter the people of the whole country, Joshua appointed singers, and they came up right before the army and the whole nation. And as they were singing praises to God, hoping that he could help them win the triumph. And God did just as he said. He threw all the armies in confusion, making them fight against one another instead of fighting the Israelites. Not one of them escaped. Jehoshaphat's story, he somehow inspired Ermia how we must be more trusting in God. If he could help Jehoshaphat and the whole country be saved from invasion from lethal countries who may well oppress them, like the Moabites, the Ammonites, or even some of the other warlike tribes in the past chapters of the Bible that you know about when they were attacked by the Amalekites, the Philistines, the Midianites, the list goes kind of on. But anyway, my point is if you trust in God, nothing is impossible, and that's all I want to share.
Amen. Amen, Brother Josh. When you trust in God, and God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Sabbath blessings, everybody. Can you hear me? Great. Well, my dear ones, this is my testimony for the week. I might sound a little tired, so forgive me. It has been a horrific week, but God has brought me through it. And this is my final, well, by God's grace, this is my final run over here in my little tiny house. The moving truck is supposed to come Monday morning. And by God's grace, I will be done. I'm about 90% finished trying to get everything done at one time. You know, I've been living here for more years than people have been around. And, you know, in the tiny little house that I had, it's amazing how many things that I've accumulated or how I have had things set up different than so many people that live in a real house. You know, for example, I live in my little tiny house is 160 square feet, if you can imagine that. So things that people have in their house, like a dining room table, I've put outside and had a patio table, you know, things like that I've done. And so now I have to regroup because the new house that God has provided for me, I'm going from 160 square feet to almost 1,300 square feet. And I'll be lost in it, but praise the Lord. And it's been a very exciting month, but God has orchestrated it so finely that it's just amazing. You know, the topic is so apropos today, trust and obey, because there is no other way. God has done this for me so perfectly. There had been no way on the planet Earth that I could have done even a fraction of this with my own doings. So I'm so gracious, and once again, the Lord knows that my mere mortal words mean nothing. So praise God that he can look into your heart and see how you really feel and what you really know and so forth. So the schedule for this coming week It's pretty exciting. And of course, now we have had a drought pretty much in Florida for the past, maybe not quite the month, but a pretty bad dry spell here. And don't you know, Monday is one of the days that they have like a 60% chance of thunderstorms. And I was like, well, praise the Lord, we need the rain. So my projected for this week is Monday, the moving truck is coming. And then Wednesday, by God's grace again, I'm renting a U-Haul cargo van just to move myself and my fur babies. And that would be Wednesday. And the only reason I didn't do it all on the same day is because it's just too much. It would be too much confusion. The ride is very, very long. You know, I'd be going about 130 miles round trip, and it's just too much. So I decided to divide it up. But officially, as of Wednesday, once again, and only by God's grace, that will be the last time that I will be on this property, because 60 days after that, the new people that bought it will take possession of this property, and praising God. So keep me in prayer. And one of the most exciting things about it is the following weekend will be my first day or my first week to have my first Sabbath in my own house in 30 years, 36 years or, and like I said, I thought that living in the woods was here in my little house. Now I'm really deeper in the woods. So I guess the Lord is nestling me in like a little nest somewhere, hidden away from the world. But with his protection and love, I have no fear in my heart. I don't know how to get around. And once again, like I said, I have no idea where anything is. But I have been studying the Google Maps and so forth. So, you know, they had an old saying, you can teach an old dog a new trick. Well, this proverbial dog can learn some new tricks, but by God's grace and all the angels providing for my safety with the trip, I am utterly enthused, and it's a new adventure and a new territory for me to widen the horizon for my handing out of my tracts and my books and my talking to people. So this will be a new adventure. But anyhow, folks, that's my testimony. Hugs and love to all, and God bless. Good night.
Well, amen, dear sister, and we'll definitely be keeping you in prayer. And praise God for allowing everything to be moved over before the winter comes. That's a great praise the Lord. And we'll definitely be praying for traveling mercies for you and the fur babies, and that they'll settle in really quick. And thank you, Brother Josh, for the insight that you shared. Are there any other thoughts, any other testimonies, questions, comments, songs, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
The song, To Be Used of God. That came up here a while back, and we sought high and low for it and finally found the words. Let me see if I can't sing it for you. I've a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never yet been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves me so. Like a flame is burning deep inside. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God,
is my desire. When I think about the shortness of my earthly years, I remember all the wasted days, the wasted tears. I long to preach the word to those who've never heard of the one who can dispel all fears. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother, for and dear sister, for searching for the words and finding them and singing the song for us. Appreciate that very much. And indeed, to be used of God should be all our desires.
Sabbath, yes,
amen.
I just wanted to share with you something that happened yesterday that thrilled my heart. I was just leaving the supermarket at the checkout, and the young lady who was serving me, she's a lovely young person. I think she's Indian. Her name is Meenakshi, and we always exchange a few words. She said to me, are you busy today? And, of course, yesterday was Sabbath preparation day. So I explained to her why I was shopping, about doing the cooking, the preparation, explained to her about the Sabbath, and she was really interested. And it was just lovely. I mean, the opportunities to witness come upon us when we're not even thinking about it. And so next time I go, I'll endeavour. I hope she's on duty. I'll try to get her check out again, and I'll tell her how the Sabbath went. A little prayer about that, and my fortunes with her would be appreciated. Thank you so much.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10.
Amen, and thank you. I found a hymn that we had in our list called Use Me, Lord. Put it here in the room, but I don't remember the tune to it. Do anyone here remember how it goes? Oh, that's okay. Maybe Sister Rose might remember that one. But I found another one. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Amen. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee.
Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my mind and then use every power as thou shalt choose. Every power as thou shalt choose.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
Amen. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take my soul and I will be ever only for thee. Ever only for thee.
Amen. I was just thinking about something that was brought to mind that happened just yesterday. It was Sister Lucy's dear daughter. You'll recall that early on at the start of this year, she was unable to talk at all. And it's been basically like that all along. But yesterday, it was like if I didn't know she had a problem, it was just so normal. And I also had the privilege, Lucy and I sang her a scripture song. This is the dear daughter of hers, her only daughter, in fact, that said happy Sabbath a couple of Sabbaths ago. So I'm so glad. He's so kind to restore that to her, and I pray it just continues for her in other areas as well as her health. Thank you for keeping her in prayer. Jesus' merits counts for everything for the believer.
I was just going to add, she really appreciated that scripture song. The door is opening slowly, slowly, as Sister White says, time and place is all important, and I think, I believe that we're being guided. And another little thing I want to ask prayer for, two of my grandchildren are celebrating 21st birthdays tomorrow. They're not on the same day. In fact, tomorrow isn't even their birthday. But James and I, James's suggestion, we're giving them a beautiful illustrated copy of The Great Controversy, and I pray that they will appreciate it and read it. I mean, it's a beautiful book. I just pray that they'll be inspired to read it. And your prayers would help in that regard, I'm sure.
Amen. And it is, it's the best that I'm aware of. If you've ever seen the cover of it, it's like $65 US. But that's not the point, but just to compare it with others, because I don't know how to express it, but it's got so many pictures, colour pictures. It just brings the story of what happened after the Bible was finished to the true Church of God throughout the ages, politically and religiously.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord, and we will be keeping all of them in our prayers. And there's been a suggestion, a request for the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus, another beautiful hymn. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world of-
Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his bare cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd rather have Jesus. No, he's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. And no need to apologize, dear brother. Anytime I mess up or it's too high or too low for me to catch the range, a thought occurs to me that the angels are joining with us in those areas. They drown it out in greater praise than I could ever give. So no need to apologize, brother. You're singing from your heart. Another request. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, For more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Yes.
His world will, shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. And thank you, Savior, for making it all possible. Well, dear ones, thank you so much for a wonderful service. And let's go ahead and have closing prayer. And if there's any other thoughts or songs that you'd like to bring forth afterwards, we can do so. And who would like to close tonight's service for us?
Shall we kneel as far as possible? Precious Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to get to know you and to continue to get to know you. We pray we make the most of the rest of the Sabbath or those beginning on the other side of the world to continue this walk that you're inviting us to have and to be co-laborers with you in this marvelous work of dealing with the minds of others, working with others on the Christian way and walk with blessing and avoiding those natural tendencies of our natures. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making this a reality, that the words that we've read from Holy Writ, from the Spirit of Prophecy, might go and have a place in our own heart when we're out there in the world alone, when we're before others who don't know you, who don't know Jesus, who don't know the Father and his great infinite love. Thank you for making this day possible and the night possible for us to meet online, and thank you for the blessing of seeing old brothers and sisters in the faith now and again just pop up, like our dear brother Robert T. That was a wonderful surprise, and we do uphold his dear mum. We know that she is suffering, and you know all things what's best for every single individual, and we uphold her that she is successful to continue to receive the care that she needs and can avoid that amputation that was facing her weeks ago or over a month ago. We also ask that our dear brother Robert will be blessed with the devotionals he was impressed with weeks ago to continue that journey that he had started that had uplifted his life and made him see things he'd never seen before. God, I love the thought you're a God that uses the least things you can use can bring the most glory to you. That will show that it's you who's in control. But just when it seems like your cause is going to come to nothing, then you come to the aid so then you can get all the glory. instead of it said to be, oh, it's, that was a chance, or that was just a flick or something. I pray we'll be able to live on expecting these blessings as we faithfully give back what's yours with a willing heart and faith that with those means, little or large, you will do much with it because our hearts in that giving. Please expand our hearts, not just in this area, but in the heart of taking care of others and seeing to it not to bring unnecessary burdens on others, to bear burdens, to be burden bearers. We also want to make a point of prayer for our dear Sister Diane and Sister Faye, Sister Carrie, and others, women, men, perhaps even younger adults, teenagers, that are making their decision to leave a apostate church that has been presented to them, that is part of the gospel message, a corporate responsibility. And we pray minds and hearts. We've seen evidence of this working upon their minds and hearts, and we pray that they would realize that you're calling them. It's not man-made. It's not a man-made message. It is biblical. It's spiritual prophecy-based. And while they might not have friends close by or necessarily their own spouse uniting with them, they have something much greater. And I pray that they might be able to behold you, Jesus, and see that those earthly things that can distract become strangely dim indeed. And your will for their lives be seen to be the only thing that their eyes.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other requests for songs? Thoughts? Comments? And please go right ahead.
I like to sing hymn that I sung a few weeks ago. It's I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down the weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till all my journey's done. Amen.
Amen, dear Brother Josh. And I think we'll have that as our closing song. And indeed, we need to open our hearts to hear the voice of Jesus tell each one of us what he would have us do for that day. Thank you, dear brother. Everyone's, may God bless. Have a wonderful night's sleep. Those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day. And looking forward to seeing you tomorrow for our main church service. So good night, dear ones, and may God bless.